Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a wonderful day so far. Thank you for this time that we get to gather together and worship. And thank you for all the things that went down over the weekend for the youth, for D-Now. And we just thank you for the children that we got to preach to this morning. And just open our hearts, open our minds so that we can be changed by the preaching and teaching of the word that Brother Kyle is about to bring to us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
If you're glad to be anywhere today, say amen.
Amen.
That's kind of my prayer. If I wake up, it's good to be here, Lord. Thank you for another day. I just want to say again to our young people, I am so stinking proud of y'all. Y'all, we had over 700 young people in our worship services at First Baptist this weekend. Had three services. They prayed over our city and county mayors on Saturday morning, and then they went out and served all over Clarksville. What you may not know is our bunch, along with, well, it was 164 of us over at Moore Magnet, and all 164 had a paintbrush in their hand. And Moore School even looks better today than it did before we got there. We didn't tear the place up. And I want to thank our host home parents and our leaders that came and ministered life. And what a blessing it is to be a part of Second Mile Church, to see you all serving and doing what needed to be done this weekend so that our young people might experience something afresh and anew, and they did. I didn't realize how many decisions we had, over 200 for Christ. Had three of our young guys pray to receive Christ Friday night. So hallelujah. All right, now, this is where we're at this morning, and God confirmed, I started working on this message about 2 weeks ago and finished it up Tuesday. I was ready to preach it Tuesday night, but Friday night, the very verse that we're about to read, the speaker, Dr. J. Strack, brought this verse into play and gave it just before he gave the invitation. I said, okay, Lord, I get it. Thank you. So this is what we're about. This is what God wants us. This is the message God wants for us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand. We're in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation, Noah's chapter 3 and verse 20. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, hang on, Pastor, I'm getting there. All right. Listen to this verse. Man, this is powerful. Verse 20, Revelation 3. Behold. Y'all, that's a key word. Anytime you see that word, it's look here. Pay attention. Lean in. Listen to me. You're about to get some truth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, say anyone, hears my voice and opens the door. There's that theme again. I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Whoo, glory. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Dick Littleton, ask God to bless the word today, would you? One more time.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, open our ears today.
Yes.
And may we be inclined to hear your knock and welcome you into our homes, our lives, our church. Thank you, God, for loving us and not giving up on us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Please be seated. How many of you have ever heard a knock-knock joke? All right. How many of you have ever told a knock-knock joke? All right. We're going to play knock-knock here for just a moment, okay? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Yah.
Yahoo.
No thanks. I use Google. It's amazing to hear the, you know, how we're getting it across here. Here we go. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Leash.
Leash who?
Least you could do is let me in. And here's my favorite. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dish.
Dish who?
Dish is the police. Let us in. All jokes aside, there is someone knocking on the door of your heart this morning. And it's no joke. His name is Jesus, and he wants to come in. Now, we're looking this morning at the last letter to the seven churches in Asia Minor. This is the church at Laodicea. Say Laodicea with me. All right, and Jesus had a message for Laodicea, and he's got a message for Second Mile Church this morning. And let me just tell you a little bit about the city in Laodicea, and it'll make sense when we start talking about the church. Laodicea was very affluent, wealthy, independent city. They were known for their banking industry. They were a wealthy church. You remember we talked about the big earthquake in 17 BC last week about Philadelphia? Well, the same earthquake hit this city, Laodicea. But they had so many resources and so much wealth, they immediately rebuilt the city without any help from anybody else. So they're known for their wealth. They're known for their banking industry. And they're also known for their ladies, for their fashionable clothing. They had these famous... Out on the hillsides around Laodicea, they had these black sheep. And they would harvest that black wool, and the women loved the black wool. It was fashionable to have that on in clothing. And the tapestry and the rugs and the carpets that you could make. So they were known for their fashion. They were also known for their... they had a medical center. And the medical center was famous for the eye salve that they had put together, and it was healing dozens of eye diseases back in the day. So they were famous for that. They also had built these aqueducts and piped fresh water into the city. They're up above sea level, and so they worked it so that they brought hot water from Hierapolis, from the hot springs there in Hierapolis, and piped it in. And then Colossae, which was south of, or north of them, they were famous for their coal springs. And they would bring that coal water in. And so they're famous for the aqueducts. So this was a wealthy, affluent, fashionable, industrious city. And guess what? The church was a lot like the city. They were very affluent. They were independent. They were wealthy, but sadly, the church at Laodicea had a major issue, and that's what we're going to hear about this morning. Jesus addressed it. They were not reaching their community for Christ. They were not changing the culture like a church ought to. Why? Because they were backslidden and lukewarm. Somebody say, uh-oh. So let's take a look at this. Now, the Lord has a twofold complaint. Listen to the Lord's complaint. Look at verse 15. We're just going to move quickly through this passage. I've got to say this. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. How many of you know Jesus is the Amen? He has the first word and the last word to the church. He is the what? The faithful and true witness. Jesus is truth personified. He doesn't distort the truth. He doesn't dilute the truth. He just lays it down plain and straight so that all of us can understand what he wants. And then he describes himself as the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, you can see his fingerprints all over creation. He is the source of life. And so the one who is called the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the the beginning of the creation of God, He has the right and the authority and the power to speak to His people. Are y'all with me? How many of you know Jesus is in charge? When you got saved, you made the last independent decision of your life. He calls all the shots now. And He's got a complaint, really a twofold complaint with the church. And here's the first complaint. Look at verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The first fold complaint is these folks were spiritually indifferent. Amazingly, the church was a lot like the water supply. By the time the hot water got to Laodicea, it was just lukewarm. Wasn't hot anymore. And by the time the cold water had gotten pumped in through those aqueducts, it wasn't ice cold. It was lukewarm. I mean, it wasn't warm. The water wasn't warm enough in the city. Are y'all with me so far? Some of y'all got some furrowed brows right now. And so by the time that the water wasn't hot, and it wasn't warm enough to relax or to restore, and it wasn't cold enough to revive or refresh, it was tepid, it was lukewarm. And that was the spiritual condition of the church. They had lost their fire of God. They had lost their passion. They were spiritually indifferent. They were filled with apathy. They were unmoved. They had lost their fervency. Am I communicating? They had lost their fire for God. And folks, that happens really easily with people who've been saved the longest. Because you get to the point where you're just kind of going through the motions. And so because they're neither cold nor hot, they're somewhere here in the middle, they're lukewarm. And what does it do to God? And this word vomit, it may be spew in your King James Bibles, it's one of the strongest words in the New Testament. To not have that fire for God that you once had, to not have that passion and fervency and emotion and that great burning zeal and love for God, it makes Him hurl when we're like it. Is that descriptive enough? Somebody was telling me last week about, what do y'all call that when a child is really just heaving? Thank you. Projectile vomiting. Is that descriptive enough? That's how God feels when we get like that. When we're lukewarm. And it happens to those of us. Now, y'all hear me well. These folks didn't deny the cross. They didn't deny the cross. They just weren't moved by it anymore. Hello? And it made God sick at His stomach. I've come here today to tell you, some churches make God happy. Some churches, I think, make God laugh because He has a sense of humor. Some churches make God angry. And some churches make God weep. But there are some churches that make God sick. I don't know where you are on that spiritual scale of being cold or hot, but I would venture to say that probably at least half of us are somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. And so God has a message for us today. Now you think about Jesus. Think about Him with me for just a minute. Was He on fire for God? Did He preach with passion? Did He go about teaching truth with clarity and zealousness? Did He? Did He go about healing with tremendous inspiration? What was it that carried Jesus to the cross? It was His love and His passion for His heavenly Father. That's what carried Him to the cross. And when he went back to heaven, those same disciples, those followers, had that same fire. And they turned the world upside down for Christ. Y'all with me? And yet today, we sit in our comfortable chairs and our comfortable pews and we yawn while the whole world is going to hell. They were spiritually indifferent. And God was sick at his stomach over it. They were spiritually indifferent. There's a second. This has to do with the overall complaint. But look at verse 17. Because you say I am rich, I'm not going to leave y'all bleeding, okay? I promise. All right? It's going to get better here in a few minutes. You got to hang in here with me. You have to receive the whole counsel of God, just not just the parts you like. All right, here's verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know. Well, let me address that first part. They thought they were fine. The church at Laodicea thought everything was good. You know what their theme song was? I shall not be moved. They thought everything was good. I mean, the crowds were up like they are in here today. The offerings were good. There seemed to be a sense of peace and harmony among the people of God. And yet, Jesus has a complaint against them. They're spiritually indifferent and they're spiritually ignorant. They don't even know that something's wrong. Brothers and sisters, it's really a bad thing to be in need of revival. Can I get a witness? But it's even worse to be in need of revival and not know it. Let me go over here and tell the center folks. Maybe y'all will get it. It's a bad thing to be in need of revival, but it's even worse to need revival and not know it. And so Jesus is trying to get their attention. That's his complaint. Spiritually indifferent, spiritually ignorant. So let's take a look at his counsel. And watch this. Forgive me, Lord. Look at the last part of verse 17. This is how they really were. And do you not know that you are wretched? This is the church that he's talking to. Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They're wretched. They're not getting anything done that has eternal value. They're miserable. They're poor in the things of God. They're poor in spirit. They're blind. They're not seeing spiritually like they ought to. And they're naked. All right, let's look at the counsel. Look at the words of counsel. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And so the first word of counsel here is restoration. This church needed to be restored. They needed to let go of all that financial, not let go of it, but what they needed was not financial wealth. They needed spiritual gold. They needed to be rich in the things of God. They needed love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. That's what they needed. They needed to be rich in the things of God. And instead of having their hearts set on the fashions of the world, they needed to be clothed in white garments, which speaks of purity and righteousness. And the scripture here says they needed to be able to see with spiritual eyes. And verse 22 tells us not only did they need spiritual eyes to see, they needed spiritual ears to hear. Yes, thank you. Wow. So they needed to be restored. Well, what do I got to do to be restored? I'm glad you asked. Look, here's the second word of counsel. It's the word repentance. Say repentance with me. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Repentance. Y'all know what repentance is? It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's getting to the place where you're so sick of it that you want to turn from it, forsake it, walk away from it, never do it again, and receive forgiveness. That's what the word repent means. And the word zealous means to come to a boil. Are y'all with me? That's what he wants. He wants to restore us. He wanted to restore the church at Laodicea, but that could only come through repentance. And what he's saying here, you need to be quick to repent. You need to, right now, get on fire again for God. You need to do those things that you did at first when you, y'all remember when you first fell in love with God? Remember those days? Think back. Maybe you're as close to God today as you've ever been. If that's so, hallelujah. Maybe you're on fire for God right now. Hallelujah. But maybe, just maybe, you're in that lukewarm lifestyle. And the Lord's telling us, don't let that Laodicean spirit grab hold of you. Repent. A change of the mind, a change of the will. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Now, I need to say this. I think it's in Hebrews 12 and verse 6. Yeah. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. The word rebuke means to scold. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. You see, if you wind up in God's woodshed, that's a sign that God loves you. If he's rebuking us and he's chastening us and he's disciplining us, that's a good thing, because you're one of God, God loves you too much to leave you that way. And hallelujah, I can tell you right now, your pastor has been to the woodshed and I did not win. But God got my attention and got me turned around. And he'll do the same for anyone that's willing to repent and have that fervency and that passion and that excitement and that exhilaration, that emotion that we all need. Now, I understand we're all different. I get that. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be a religious fanatic to be on fire for God. You don't have to foam at the mouth and roll around in the floor and bark like a dog to be on fire for God. Am I making sense? You don't have to be slain in the spirit every day in order to be on fire for God. Now, if that's who you are, if that's your personality, go ahead and get your praise on. It ain't gonna bother me. But if God's told you to do whatever it takes, we need to get back to that sense of revival. To that sense where, man, I want the Spirit of God to just envelop me and saturate me and help me to be who God wants me to be. In Jesus. So that's the counsel. And by the way, the best thing that I have found in my life to help me to repent in order to be restored is to go back, like we were talking about right here, to go back to the cross and get a glimpse of what Jesus went through for me and how they plucked out his beard and spit on him and laughed at him. Well, every king needs a crown. They pressed a crown of thorns on his head and they beat him to within an inch of his life. And they nailed his hands and feet to a cross. Go to the cross and revisit how he gave his all for you. And if you can walk away from that indifferent and filled with apathy, then friend, you've got major spiritual issues. Go to the cross. And it'll restore you and revive you. And I'm so thankful. He's not dead. He's alive. And He wants to revive our spirit. There's one final thing, and here's the positive stuff. Are you ready? You ready? Or you want this gloom and doom? I mean, getting hit over the head with the scriptures. Y'all want more of that? All right, look at verse 20 again. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Now, that kind of paints a sad picture. Jesus, the Bible says, came to His own, and His own received Him not. Now He's standing at the door of His church knocking. He's on the outside, and He can't get in. Isn't that sad? His own people, the church. But look at this sweet promise. If anyone hears my voice and opens, He says anyone, and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit, listen to this, to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now he's standing at the door of the church and he's knocking and he wants to come in. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to bust the door down. And anyone, just one person, can open the door of their heart. And the promise here is that he'll come in. Now, y'all, I would never attempt to disagree and argue with a doctor by the name of Jay Strack. But this is not a salvation passage. This is a fellowship passage. He's writing to believers here. He's not writing to unbelievers. And yet we use this verse as a salvation verse. And I get that. I understand why. But what he's wanting to do is just come in and dine with them. Y'all know the background of a Jewish meal? The Jewish people love to get together. And they love to eat. And so do we. Amen? And the Jewish family in the evening would get together and they'd eat together. They'd sit down together. And they would share together. And they would talk about the day and spiritual truths would be shared. And they would laugh and they would enjoy intimacy with one another and companionship and fellowship and friendship. That's what Jesus wants with us. Can you believe the God of the universe, the one who created every one of us, is standing at the door of our heart and he's knocking, he's wanting to come in and enjoy a sweet fellowship, intimacy, companionship with every one of us. Can you imagine that? Whew, that blows me away. He'll come in and dine with me. And then, if we'll let him in, pay attention to this. As he restores us and he shares intimacy with us and we have that companionship with him and the dining room becomes a throne room. That's what verse 21 is saying. The dining room becomes a throne room. That's what he wants today. He wants you. He wants me to have that intimacy with him. To love him with all of our heart. And to be all in. For him to have top priority in our life. That's what he wants. He gave his all for me. And he gave his all for you. And when you open the door, not only does the dining room become a throne room, but when you open the door of your heart, he opens all of heaven to you. Ha, mercy. I don't know where you are today, but God does. Where are you on that scale of being, one being cold, 10 being hot? Where are you? Well, the counsel is to be restored, you got to be willing to repent and open that door and allow Him to be God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus is. Father, I don't know who needed to hear this today. Maybe it was me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're a God of second chance. You're a God who looks past our failures and all of our faults and just loves us. God, would you help revival fires to begin to blow all across this room as we get obedient to what you've told us to do this morning. Oh, God, help us. Our city and our community is depending upon the church to be hot for God. As a matter of fact, our world is dependent on whether or not the church is going to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-thrilled and Spirit-drilled to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Do what only you can do amongst us this morning. Do what only you can do here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed. No, please, nobody looking around. Just every head. Let's let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do here. If you'd be bold enough to say, Pastor, Brother Cal, I need what you've been talking about. I need what you've been talking about in my life. Would you just stand quietly to your feet? Nobody's looking around. Just stand quietly to your feet. Is there anybody that really desires revival in your life? Just stand quietly to your feet. Are you bold enough to do that? God bless you. God bless you. See you, my sister. Y'all keep standing. I want to pray for you in just a minute. Anybody need revival here? Anybody need to have your heart set on fire? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching. Father, I want to lift up and pray for these that want to be on fire for you, that want all that you've got to give them, surrendering every area of their life to you. Thank you for their willingness today and their boldness to say, I need what you're talking about. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now, here's the invitation today. Some of you are here and you need to be saved. You really do. You don't have a relationship with Christ. You can't rekindle it because you don't have it. If you'll get up out of your seat and come, we will share the scriptures with you and you can walk out of here born again. But you need to come. We're not going to beg you. You just need to do that. And then there are others that are here and you belong to Christ. And you need a church home. Well, I teach a church membership class for you in order for you to be able to join, but I need to know who you are. And if you're willing and you're wanting to join the fellowship of this church, I want to ask you to come today so we can record your names and get on a date and call you. And then here's a big deal. If you've been saved, young people, maybe some of you, I know some of y'all got saved this week. And there are others that are here and you need baptism. Baptism doesn't save anybody, but after you are saved, once you've received the word, you're to be baptized. That's what Jesus told us to do. And if you'll come, we'll work on that. We'll set that time up for you to be baptized. And if you were baptized before you're saved and you got saved later, you need to be baptized. Because that's what the word teaches. Andrew, lead us in a word of song. Let's all stand and you folks come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.